This week is a doubleheader, Parashas Matos Maaseh. We are finally catch up this week to Eretz Yisrael. Two parashios this week. It's a very long laning, a double parasha. We finally catch up to Eretz Yisrael. Last year, it's been a long time since we laned Parashas Matos Maaseh together. Last year, we did not, I believe, right? Last year it was separate. So it's already been 2 years since we laid together Matas Maaseh. It's Shabbos Chazak. We catch up to Eretz Yisrael. And it's also, we have begun the 9 days. Today is Rosh Chodesh Av. I saw this morning, what is the word Tesha? Where does the word Tesha come from? What is the Shoresh? I saw in the Sefer, the word Tesha comes from the word Vayisha, to turn. Hashem turned to the carbon, Vayisha Hashem El Hevel, the El Minchaso. It means to turn. The number 9, what does it mean, the number 9? Why is number 9 is the concept of turning? Because 10 is a quorum that brings the Shekhinah. When you have 9, you're already turning. It's already a point of, you're right there. It's a turning, coming close to a destination, to a shlemus. 10 always represents the concept of shlemus. That's why you need 10 people in the minyan. Pesumei Nisus 10. There are many examples where 10 represents shlemus. When you have already 9, that's a moment, a critical moment of where you're turning into shlemus. We come, it's not a coincidence, is that Chodesh Av, We commemorate the Churban in the Tishas Yomim, the 9 days. Because these are days where Vayisha Hashem El Hevel V'Yel Minchaso. It's a time where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is turning to us. Although it may seem that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is pouring out His anger upon us, Chazal tell us, is Mizmar La'asaf Bohu Goyim Benachal Osecha. It should really say Kina L'Asaf. Why does it say Mizmor L'Asaf? HaKadosh Baruch Hu was doing us a chesed by bringing a churban to the Beis HaMikdash, that in turn speared the survival of Klal Yisrael for all future generations. And likewise, when we focus on these Tisha Yamim, we in turn, on the Mesabel, the proper way, we are also turning towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a tkufa of a special Kirvas Elokim. Now, it's not a coincidence that the Chodesh, that the events that appear in the parasha very much relate to the Inyanei Diyoma. We are now in the heart of the Bein HaMetzarim, in the Tishas Hayamim, and we come to Parashas Matos, which deals with two major themes. The first major theme is Nidorim. This is the sugya of Parashas Nedarim. And then we come to the Milchemes Midian. Milchemes Midian was the nation that succeeded in causing Klal Yisrael to be nichshol in Arayos, in Gilui Arayos. And this was not the first time. The first time they did this was with Yosef. We'll come to that a little bit later. Is when Yosef, when the brothers sold Yosef, they did not sell him directly to Mitzrayim. They sold him to the Yishma'elim. And the Yishma'elim sold him to the Midianim. And the Midianim were the ones who sold Yosef to Mitzrayim. Am I correct, Rabbi Mayavsky? So some of them say it's the same, even though it's spelled differently. It's, even though they're spelled differently, it could be. But
Midianim is from the Abraham.
The Hamidonim Mochru Oso El
Mitzrayim.
So, okay, I did see. Okay, could be that everyone agrees, but I did see that the Hamidonim, even though it's not the exact same spelling, is related to the nation of Midian. Midian. I think Rashi really says this. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, why Pinchas? It's really Rashi. It's Rashi Pasuk Vav. Rashi Perek Lamed Aleph Pasuk Vav. The Dovaracher, why did Moshe send Pinchas? Why did he send Pinchas to attack taka the midyonim davar acher shahalach linkoim nikmas yosef avi imo, because Pinchas was a descendant of Yosef through the mother, the father of his mother. Shnemar v'vishnemar v'hamidonim machru also, who sold him to Mitzrayim. So here it's the Ferish. According to Rashi, the Ferish. The Hamidonim is the same thing as Midyonim. With it's explicit in Rashi, they're exactly the same. Okay, Rashi over here says it's Mamish, it's the nation of Midyon. Now what exactly is the nation? Now this is a very interesting point. I came across this in the Sefer, I don't remember all the Svarim, but I came across this idea. Let's think about it. When the brothers sold Yosef as a slave, they didn't sell him to Mitzrayim. They sold him to Orchas Yishmaelim. As far as they're concerned, we would have gone down, and this would have started the Shalshalah, the whole process of Klal Yisrael going down to Golis for 400. There was a gezerah. Va'avodun the inu yosam arba meyoshana. So where would we experience the 400 years of Golas? Ishmaelim, in one of the Arab countries, Saudi Arabia, in Qatar, or I don't know. You find the place on the map. That's where it would have been meant to be for us. As far as the Shvatim workers, just subconsciously, they were instruments in Hashem's sense, is where we're going to begin the Golas. Okay, the Yishmaelim. Hashkoch.
Your name sold into the Yishmaelim. It says, "V'amid your name, Machu Ol Sol Lehel Yishmaelim."
Well, let's see the pasuk
right away. That's the first thing. Vayim Shukru Vayalu Es Yosef Min Avar. That's who took him out. That's why a lot of Mepharshim don't say that the brothers sold him. It was the Midyanim that sold him to the Yishmaelim.
And who sold him to the Egyptians?
Midyanim.
Well, let's see the pasuk.
And Midyanim. Both of them.
Oh, both of them. Both of them are involved. So who is...
Shim mid yonim so charim. Vayim shuchu vayalu es yosef min avor. Vayim churu es yosef. Vayishmielim b'yesum kosef. And then it says, you know, and be that's what it is. But before...
Wait, which part? What parak? What parak is it? What parak?
Right before, it's in the parak Lamed Zayin.
Parak...
Rashi learns different.
There's a lot of different proportions. Rashi, the brothers have nothing to do with the sale.
Okay, let me just read the psukim for some clarification. All right, Rabbi Yisai. Luchu, the brothers said, v'nim kerenu la Yishmaelim. Okay, now. V'yodenu al tivok, yochinu v'srenuhu, v'yishu v'yishu, listen, v'yavru anoshim, now what happened? V'yavru anoshim midyonim, soicharim, v'yim shichu v'yalu es yosef min habar, v'yim kuru es yosef la yishmeelim, v'yeshim kosef, they sold him to yishmeelim, the midyonim sold him to yishmeelim, v'yeshim kosef, v'yaviu es yosef mitroima. So we have over here, the last part of the chain was the yishmeelim, and they're the ones who brought him down to...
The only reason we go with Rashi...
Can we have to go with Rashi? Rashi...
...that says, I'll mikro b'kesef tzadik. But four or five of the Rishonim say that the brothers never sold it. That the Midyanim sold it.
Okay. There's a lot of. I'm just going to go with Rashi. Rashi here says Rashi. Just a few Rashis. It said that la yishmeilim vahayishmeilim la midyonim vahamidyonim machru osol mitzrayim. Rashi quotes it Tanhuma. The pasuk has to be interpreted in the proper form. But Rashi, obviously there are many Rishonim, they have different interpretations, but Rashi is learning L'shitasoi. The last link, according to Rashi, the way Rashi interprets the Pasuk, in Parashas Vayeshev, the Pasuk is a bit confusing. But the last link, whatever we have to go with, I didn't prepare, but with the last link, according to Rashi, Rashi here says the last thing, V'hamidyonim mochru oso l'mitzrayim. Yishmaelim were involved. He was sold multiple times, Rashi says, the previous Rashi says. But the last link, The one that directly sold Yosef to Mitzrayim were the Midyanim. And Rashi says here in this week's parasha, Parshas Matos, that the Midyanim, the reason why Moshe selected Pinchas to lead the battle, the war, was Pinchas was a descendant of Yosef, and he wanted a descendant of Yosef to exact vengeance from the nation of Midian, who were descendants of the Midianim that sold their Yosef to Mitzrayim. So it's sweet revenge. It's revenge. The Midianim sold Yosef to Mitzrayim. Therefore, let a descendant of Yosef come and seek revenge from the nation that came from those Midianim. This is what it says here in Rashi in Matos, together with Rashi in Parshas Vayeshev. This is Rashi. Obviously, there can be other Mefarshim that learn the Psukim differently. Now, this is very interesting because this basically means that when the brothers, when they sold Yosef as a slave, it was not necessarily their intent that Yosef should go down to Mitzrayim. Now, I'm telling you things which I don't remember where I saw this, because I don't know until the last minute what I'm going to say. And then I run out of time going back and clarifying all the details, and I forget which farm I see these things from. But basically, the idea is as follows. If the brothers would have known that Yosef would have been sold, so because it would go down to Mitzrayim, they would never have allowed that. Because the brothers were tzaddikim, there's no question about that, and they felt they made their corrupt assumption that Yosef has to be eliminated and has to be sold as a slave, but they did have some moral standing, and Mitzrayim was like Las Vegas. You don't sell your brother to Las Vegas. If you want to sell him as a slave, okay, we'll eliminate him from the Shiftei Kah, so we'll sell you as an Yishmaeli, because in Yishmaelim they wear burkas, they're very tsunua, at least on the outside. There's a certain degree of moral, of there are certain rules and regulations in society that were practiced in ancient times. After all, Yishmael was a child of Avraham Avinu. Okay, was a child. Yishmael was a child, and we have midrash that Avraham Avinu, he went and he would seek the good and welfare of Yishmael, Bnei Keturah. And some say Yishmael did tshuva sof yamav. So there was something positive, at least then, not today, but at least those days, there was something positive about Yishmael. Mitzrayim in ancient history was known to be the Ervas, Zimras, Susim, Zimrasan. Shakua, it was Times Square. It was Mamish, the lowest of the low. There was no standards whatsoever. The Shiftei Kah would never dream of taking their brother and selling their brother to the Shitufei Zima. Who was the one that went and had pleasure in seeing a Jewish boy, a nice, pleasant-looking Jewish boy, Yosef HaTzadik? Oh, let's now go and cause him, will relish the pleasure of taking a Jewish boy and putting him into a makom of the Ervas Haaretz. It takes a certain intense degree of wickedness to do something like this. So if you'll argue and you'll say, all right, it's not true. The Midianim never had such kavana on their mind, because the Midianim just wanted to make a few dollars. They didn't think about the repercussions and what's going to happen to this child. But the proof is what happened here a few hundred years later in the time of Bilam and Balak. After Bilam was unsuccessful in cursing Klal Yisrael, so what did he advise? He advised Balak, Melech Midian, says, why don't you go and cause them, Melech Moav, why don't you go and cause them to be Nichshol in Arayos? And the way the ones that will relish, will participate in this Nichshol in Arayos, are the Benos Midian. Okay, the Benos Midian, the Benos Midian, they are the ones. They are the ones that will enjoy. They are the ones that will have great pleasure in causing Klal Yisrael to be nichshol in Arayos. So here, no, it was Midian.
Not at all.
No. They didn't kill Benos Mobiko, but the main ones that caused Klal Yisrael to be Nichshol were the Benos Midian. That's what it says in the passing, it says in Rashi. Okay, go back to Vayesha B'shitim V'atikvim L'zul L'val Par. It was the Benos Midian. You have to find the source for this, but it was the Benos Midian that went, and they're the ones that caused them to be nichshol in the sin of Arayos. So now, it comes out. What is here? This. Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Lema. Let's go back. Okay, that's the Pashma. Okay, let me see the Rashi over here. Nikoyim Nikmas Meishol Meis Hamidyanim. Okay, it was the Benos Midian. We have to find the source for that. The Midianim, they're the ones that were the main instigators. So you see here an incredible wickedness. Because he was from Midian. Okay, so you see here an incredible wickedness on behalf of the people of Midian. They relish in causing Klal Yisrael to be nichshol in the Avera of Arayos. It's very frightening, a very frightening thing. And this was strike two. Maybe you'll argue that the first time when the Midianim took Yosef, who they knew was a Jew, they knew was a child of, they knew where he came from, they saw who was sold from, and they knew that the God of this nation hates Zima, and they bedafka took him and they sold him to Mitzrayim, to the place of the Ervas Aretz. So maybe you'll argue, oh, they just did it for the money. They didn't really do it with the kavan that they should go and they should anger Kadosh Baruch Hu and cause the person to be nichshol in Arayos. But now, strike two. Well, now Cosby, who and all of these women, they were part of Midian, and they went out to cause Klal Yisrael to be nichshol in Arayos. It goes to show where their kavan was originally. Going back from the time of Hamidyanim Machar sold Potiphar, they sold him. Going back to the very beginning, that's why Hashem told you. Hashem said to Moshe, you should send Pinchas, who is a descendant of Yosef, and he should now take revenge from Midian to what the Midianim did to Yosef and try to cause them to be nichshol in Arayos. And it comes out, and because of this process, the Midianim, that's why we found ourselves in Mitzrayim for 210 years, and we suffered the Nisayon of the Ervas Haaretz, and Klal Yisrael sung to a level of the 49th level of Tumah. Had they remained there for one more moment, we would have disappeared. And who knows, maybe if we would have gone into exile in the land of Yishmael, or in another land, maybe we would not have sung to such a low level. We would have been able to remain in Golis for 400 years in total. And then when the Gula would have occurred, it would have been a complete Gula Shlema, and would have never have come about that we would have been Nichshol in the Egel, and the whole Korban of Golis would never have come about. So Midian, they're the ones who are really guilty to a very large degree of causing Klal Yisrael to get off track, and that's why all of these things here come together. Now, the point I want to make over here is a very simple point. There's a halacha, a nazir. I'm trying to go to one of the kinois, to refer to one of the kinois. But before we get to the one of the kinois, and the very popular expression of the kinois, there's a halacha that if a person comes to the Beis HaMikdash and he sees a soita bikul kula, yazir atzmai min hayayin. This is going to go back. I want to talk about a theme that Rabbi Herschel Fried spoke about, Dr. Fried spoke about when he came to speak about the concept of nazir. Nazir is a concept of precious, of discipline, restraint, of self-restraint. Nazirus, the ultimate form, the ultimate goal of Nazirus, we learn from Chazal, is a person has to learn how to control himself. Because if he does not learn how to control himself with regard to the pleasures of this world, and coming in contact with forms of contamination of the dead, and enjoying a beautiful hair to present himself as a beautiful person, and enjoying pleasure for the guf, it will come lidei arayos. The goal is Arayos. How do I know it's Arayos? It's Mefarsh Chazal. If a person comes to the Beis HaMikdash, why is the parasha of Sota juxtaposed to the parasha of Nazirus? Because if a person comes to the Beis HaMikdash on a day when he happens to see a Sota being brought in the Beis HaMikdash, and he sees what could happen, a woman can be Nichshol and Gili Arayos, Yazir Atzmai Min Hayayin. You have to right away train yourself, hold back, learn discipline, because if you don't learn discipline, you can come to be nichshol in the worst aveir of Gili Arayos. Now, the point I want to make over here is, we all open up Parshas Matos, which is the parsha that begins the nine days, with two sugyas. A sugya that relates to the sugya of Nidarim. Right? What more do you possibly want? Nidarim. The whole first Aliyah is heavy-duty Nidarim. Every possible neder. Every single situation with all of the halachs, the chol perotech, and tutev chavonosecha. The second parasha is a very powerful lesson in Arayos. is in the chait of being nichshol narayas. Because Klal Yisrael, this was the idea that when Bilam did not succeed in cursing Klal Yisrael, it was his advice that Klal Yisrael should be nichshol in arayas. And he succeeded. 24,000 people were nifter, died because of his advice. And who was the one that led the way? Midian. And this was not the first time they led the way. They are in fact are responsible for the reason why we ended up in Mitzrayim to begin with. And we went to the land of the Eras Mitzrayim and we sung to a fourth level of Tum in such a land. It was never even meant to be the idea of the brothers to go put Yosef in such a situation to live in the Eras Armitz. We would go to one of the countries from Yishmael or another country and not Kohen HaHavim, we would end up down in Mitzrayim. Arayos. What is Arayos? How does a person protect himself from Arayos? It's a Feresh HaChazal. Discipline, musar. You have to learn self-restraint, control. In the kina, I think it's kina chaf hey. If I'm not mistaken, I don't have it in front of me. But kina chaf hey, the kina we focus on from the time of the Crusades, the tsara of tach v'tat, not tach. I'm sorry, tsara of tatnu of 1096, tatnu. And the Python, he laments over the loss of the greatest tzaddikim, that lived, the Rishonim, the tkuf of the Rishonim, who were wiped out through the brutality of the Christians, of the Crusaders. He says an expression which is very bizarre. Who will teach us mi yafli nidarim? Umi. I don't remember the exact expression. Who will teach us the laws of Nedarim and who will teach us Nizirus? This is an expression that appears in one of the kinas. Maybe I have to give you the kinas. So maybe you'll find it for me. I think it's kina chafei.
There's like a medicine here and a problem. The problem is if you
have
better control.
Can you look at chafei?
Very controlling. Put down a runner's gun against your lifeless.
Yeah.
You could end up with a site.
If you're too control, suppressive, too controlling.
You do the Zeus, it's not controlling somebody else. The Zeus is
yourself.
Controlling yourself.
So
this was also with the. Okay, so. The old Yosef, they made a bezin and they asked him, they swore Hashem to get him.
They brought Hashem involved.
On him. On Yosef, not on themselves, on Yosef.
Okay, so the question we want to ask over here is, why does it say in this kina, why does the Python lament the loss of tzaddikim? With their loss, we no longer have someone to teach us about Nedarim, and we no longer have someone to teach us about Nezirus. Why specifically these two? So there's a very, very popular, famous part from Rav Soloveitchik. Rav Yosef Dov Soloveitchik from Boston, Rishiv of YU, he says that the only two Masechtos and Shas that do not have neither Rashi or Tosfos are not the real Rashi, not the real Tosfos, are Masechta Nedarim and Masechta Nezirus. The Rishonim are the ones who elucidated the Talmud Bavli. And the, if you got it? It's Chafei. Okay, so what's Chafei?
That's
Chafei. This Chafei, so let's see where it is. Any? No, that's the wrong one.
Because he had it marked over there.
Yeah. It's probably a different one. All right, whatever it is. Whatever it is. Okay, so in this one of these cases, so the Rav Soloveitchik asked the question, why do we focus on these two things? Here it is, I found it. I made a mistake, it was a different kina. It's kina chav beis. Hacharishu mimenu va'adabera. Okay, kina chav beis. Mi yikatzeh bigvaos umi yisateis beharim. Who's going to cut through the hills and quarry through the mountains? Mi yifarek havayos. Who's going to answer the questions? Umi yitoret shvarim. Mi yafli nizirus umi yaaroich nidorim. Who is going to explain to us Nizirus, and who is going to arrange Nidorim? So if Salavesh asks, why from all of the various Mesachtas, why from all the various concepts do we focus on Nizirus and Nidorim? In fact, these are two things that we don't do today. Chazal, they discourage a person from making a Neder. Person says in the Pasuk, if you make a Neder, it's like you build a Bama. And if you Mekayim the Neder, it's like you offer the carbon on the Bama, B'shas Isser Bamas. Nizirus? There is no Nizirus B'zman Hazeh. There was no Nizirus during the time of the Rishonim. So what does this mean over here in this Kina of me, Yafli Nizirusu Mi Yaroich Nidorim? So Soloveitchik answers, because the who are we discussing in the year 1096? We are discussing the Bali Tosis. We're discussing the Tkufa of the Rishonim. They died with blood. The Daf Gemara, the Rishonim that we read, the Rishonim on the Tosfos on our Masechta, was written with blood. Moments before they were killed, they were finishing up the writing of the Tosfos on the Talmud Bavli. And unfortunately, they were killed prematurely. They did not yet get around to writing a Beyer on Masechta Nazir and Masechta Nidorim. These are the only two Masechtas where the entire Masech does not have an authentic Rashi and does not have an authentic Tosfos. We have other Rishon which filled in the gap, but of course it's not the same. And therefore he alludes to the fact that the elucidation of the Talmud by the Bavli was incomplete due to the horrors of the First Crusade of 1096, the Hebrew year Tatnu, because of what happened. And that's why the Paitan laments, Mi Yafli Nizirus Mi Yaroch Nidorim. This is a classic var. Yeah. He was much earlier. I think the Mordechai was earlier. He was before the Crusades.
I think he died in 1099.
1099 of Mordechai. Okay, all right. So I take it back then.
Okay. Mordechai was the Talmud of
Maram was later. Can't be. The Mordechai? No, the Mordechai of the Ramah was much later on. The Ramah was much later on. Was much later on. 200 years later. 100 years later. Marami Ramberg was the last Rishonim. He was the Chassim of the Rishonim. Okay, so I want to. That's what Rav Soloveitchik is. But I want to say there's something a little different, and that is that we Bizman Hazeh. You know, Baruch Hashem, we live in a generation where there are many very great Talmidei Chachamim. I mean, it's really we're blessed with a plethora of great, outstanding Talmidei Chachamim. However, what about Bali Musar? Bali Musar, it's a lost art. Few and far in between. It's a reality. We don't have people today, Cheskel Levenstein.
People don't want to hear it.
We don't have Rav Dessler. We don't have people from Kelm. It doesn't exist. Musar is not popular. You don't see people today working the foursome. They work on their nidos. They work on fasting. They work on sifugim. You don't hear about this. It's not the derech today. Today, no one fasts. Musar is something which is done, is not focused on. It's a reality. The concept of Nizirus, and this was really the entire shiur that Rav Hirschfried gave when he came here, is all about the concept of Musar. It's all about the concept of restraint. A person who is a Nazir abstains from the good that this world has to offer for a period of time, not forever, in order to properly discipline, train oneself so he can deal with the world with a healthy perspective. Sometimes for a short period of time, you need to go to an extreme to abstain and distance yourself from the Havli Olam Hazeh in order to put your mind in the proper frame, in order so you can re-enter the world and properly deal with the world and not lose control of what's out there in the world. Nidorim, even though Chazal strongly discouraged Nidorim, but there is a time when you're supposed to make a neder. Be'eis tzara. Vayidar Yaakov neder lemar. When Yaakov was running away from Esav, Yaakov went, he made a neder. He said, Ribbono shel Olam, if you help me, you'll give me lechem lechol, ubega lilbash, v'shavti v'sholom al beis avi, I will repay my debt. Then v'hoya ha'evin ha'zois shasamti, samti matzei v'iyya beis elokim. Mikan shenoidrin be'eis tzara. It is a good thing. It's not a good thing generally to make a neder, but be'eitzar, it's a good thing to make. Nimela, I think on a very simple level, we have a very simple pshat in the Kina, in addition to the brilliant pshat from Soloveitchik, is a very simple pshat in why the Mekoinen mentions these two things, miyafli nizirus umiyaroich nidarim, with the death and the loss of the Balei Tosis in the time of the First Crusade, we no longer have Balei Musar. Musar has become a lost art. Who will teach Klal Yisrael Nizirus? It doesn't only mean the Mesach the Nazir. It doesn't only mean to be how to become a Nazir. We don't practice Nizirus anymore b'zman hazeh. It means the concept of Nizirus. The concept, who's going to teach Klal Yisrael to be people of discipline, restraint, Balei Musar. Umi Yaroich Nidorim. In Golus, Golus is Be'etzem, is in essence an Ace Tzoro Liyakov. Who is going to teach us to do things to get out of Golus? Mikan Shenoidrin, the Ace Tzoro. We don't have this. This is the loss of the Rishonim at the time of the First Crusade. It's not a coincidence that as we enter into the 9 days, Rosh Chodesh Av, we come to Parshas Matos, and the first two topics of Parshas Matos are Mi Yafli Nizirus Umi Yaroich Nidorim. It's not a coincidence. The parash opens up with the sugya of Parshas Nidorim, and then it opens up with the sugya Tzorores HaMidyonim. Unfortunately, they also make a point that it's very unique. When you have an enemy, it doesn't say anyway you have to hate the enemy. What do you have to go to such extremes? And soon go on and say very harsh expressions of how to deal with the enemy, and we describe in great detail. I mean, who is the enemy? The enemy is Midian. And what is Midian? What are we taking revenge from Midian? We're taking revenge, the ultimate form of loss of self-restraint. Arayos. The nation that has caused us twice, in a very great way, to lose control of restraint, and to be nichshol in the worst avera possible, Gili Arayos. First with Yosef, by directing the Golus to Mitzrayim and not allowing the plan to go where we should go, to a land of Yishmol, to go to Mitzrayim, and now to take the advice of Bilam ben Ba'ar and cause 24,000 people in Klal Yisrael to die from the Magefa, plus the collateral damage that came with that. And what a Chazal say is the makar of Arayos? It's a lack of discipline. And the proof is Chazal, Aroya Soita Bikil Kula, Yazir Atzmai Min Hayayin. It's not a coincidence that we come into the Bein HaMitzar, we come into the 9 days, the first two things that we come is Matos, Nidorim, and Arayos, which is alluded to, captured in the theme of Umi Yafli Nizirus, Umi Yaroich Nidorim, Hafeichba Dukulba. There is a definite message here in the parasha. Okay, let's go to another idea. Okay, this is the Vard which is a favorite, a classic Vard. I've seen this in many Sfarim. Everyone says the Vard, it's kedai to review. Is in this week's parasha we learn about the chavivus of Klal Yisrael to Hashem and the mutual relationship between Klal Yisrael and Hashem and Hashem and Klal, and the mutual relationship. When Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu to take revenge against Midian for the harm they have done, the words Hashem uses are Nikoim Nikmas Bnei Yisrael. Hashem says, take revenge for the harm that they have inflicted against the Bnei Yisrael. When Moshe tells Klal Yisrael to get ready for war, Moshe says, separate from among yourselves men for war. They should go to battle against Midian. Don't do it for your benefit. Do it to take revenge against the harm that Midian has inflicted against Hashem. Ani li doidi vidoidi li. HaKadosh Baruch Hu expresses his love for Klal Yisrael by telling that the punishment to Midian should be against, for the harm of Bnei Yisrael. But when Bnei Yisrael, they come forward to actually to go to war, they express it's not for us, it's for the Ribbono Shel Olam. Similar to the two titles we use for Yom Tov of Pesach. Hashem in the Torah calls it Chag HaMatzos, and we call it Chag Pesach. Why do we call it Pesach, and why does Hashem call it in the Torah Chag HaMatzos? Because Pesach represents the chesed that Hashem did for us. Hashem was posach ala Pesach. When the Mashkas came to wipe out the Egyptians, he could just as easily wipe out us. Hashem had rachmonas. Ein Pesach ela v'chomal. It means compassion. We focus on the good that Hashem did for us. When Hashem looks at the Yontif, Hashem says it's called Chag HaMatzos. Hashem looks at the chesed that we did, that we were living to leave without any bread. That we were willing to give up everything and just to follow. We didn't even have food, and we followed after Kodesh Baruch Hu. When we refer to the Yom Tov, we refer to the love Hashem for us. When Hashem refers to the Yom Tov, he refers to the love that we had for Him. Is a mutual relationship, and that's what you see here in this pasuk. And it's also a very good theme for the Bein Hametzarim to express, to restore the damaged relationship that there is between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Hashem and us, due to the Churban Beis HaMikdash. We're coming to restore that, and this milchama brings that relationship, repairs the relationship in the choice of words, Nikmas Hashem and Nikmas Bnei Yisrael.
Because all the Mises Moshe and Nikmas Midyan.
We won't go to war.
Nikas
Vashem. So now you have no choice but to go to war. That's why it says Vayimosru. Vayimosru means they were forced. They were forced because indeed they didn't want to go to war, because they knew that this war would bring the end to Moshe Rabbeinu, and they had no choice. They were forced to go to war. So let's now.
You know, when you think about restraint, imagine what it was like to think that they had to restrain all their mercy and everything to slay these little girls and these kids. So they were killing 3 babies. It takes a tremendous amount of, you know,
that was Midian.
Midian, that was the mitzvah. Amalek.
Follow that mitzvah.
Amalek, they had no choice.
How was the Shemaniah not to change? He was told by Davin Hashem and Moshe, Leimor Satan.
Nikmas Hashem. I don't know the answer. Good question. Okay, let's go to another idea. Let's go to the Masos. This week we come to the 42 Masos. Sir Michal, I'm sure you can tell us, you can elaborate that Eile Masei V'nei Yisrael Rashi Tevos Aleph Mem Beis Yud. What does Aleph Mem Beis Yud stand for? Edom, Modai, Bavel, and Yavon. The Masois of Klal Yisrael in the Midbar, the 42 Masois correspond, it represents Jewish history. Golos, we're now 2,000 years, the Jewish history is going through the 4 Dalet Malchios, and these 42 stops, journeys on the road from Mitzrayim to Eretz Yisrael was Maisa Avol Simin Labanim, that until the coming of Mashiach we will have to travel through 4 Kufois, the Dalid Malchios. Now it's interesting, in the Dalid Malchios, how many Masos? There are 42 Masos. We are now going through the Bein HaMitzarim. How many days are there in the Bein HaMitzarim? 21. 3 weeks. 7 times 3 is 20. I know you're telling me it's really 22 because you want to go count Shavuos Matamas and Tisha B'Av. So we had this last week, so we're going to put off Tisha B'Av, because Tisha B'Av is also the day of the Geula, when Mashiach is born. So besides Tisha B'Av, how many days are there in the Bein HaMitzarim? 21. So the Farshim explain how a day really is divided into two parts. There is the day and the night. So 21 multiplied by 2, day plus night is 42. There are 42 Masos, and in the 21 days of the Bein HaMitzarim, there are also 42 parts. Because the day and the part, day and the night, each one is a different significant. So when we go through the Bein HaMitzarim, symbolically, we are reliving, we experiencing the Dalid Malchios, where we're experiencing the Masos of the Midbar. Now it's really even more than that, because when the Pasuk begins and describes the Masos, it is repetition. Pasuk says, Vayichle Moshe, Moshe wrote, Es Motzoehem L'Masehem, Al Pi Hashem. What does it mean, Motzoehem? Their departure, L'Masehem, towards their journey. And then it says, Al Pi Hashem, the Eila, the following are the Mas Ehem, are their journeys, Lemotso Ehem, their journey from the place where they departed. So the question over here is, why is there repetition? Why do we have over here the Pasuk starting off, first they left in order to go somewhere, and then they're journeying, they're reaching a destination away from where they left. Why is there repetition? Why do we have these two words being switched around back and forth? And the answer given is, every time a person goes on a trip, there are two parts to the trip. You have to ask, what is the primary purpose of traveling? Is it because it's got to get away? I had enough of this place. Where am I going to go? I don't know. Somewhere. I just got to get out of Brooklyn. Where? Doesn't matter. We can go to Arizona. We can go to Moscow. We can go to the moon. Just get out of Brooklyn. And then there's a time when you want to go somewhere. I want to go to Eretz Yisrael. It's not so important that I'm getting away. There is a destination. When Klal Yisrael traveled in the Midbar, there were two parts to every journey. Number one, it was a process of distancing themselves from Mitzrayim. Klal Yisrael lived in Mitzrayim for 210 years. It was not so easy to extract the culture, the mindset of the Egyptians. This became part of Klal Yisrael. It took 40 years in the Midbar to extract, to purge, to cleanse themselves from the filth of Mitzrayim. It wasn't so much important where they were going. It was important to get away from an evil source. On the other hand, we're going somewhere very important. We're going to Eretz Yisrael. The destination is extremely significant. Therefore, the Pasuk here tells us that every single journey, every single part of the trip of leaving Mitzrayim to go to Eretz Yisrael had two parts. Number one, Moshe wrote, Es Motzoehem L'Masehem. The first thing he wrote was he focused on the significance of leaving. We're leaving this location. This location is one link closer to Egypt. By leaving this location, it is symbolic. He in essence is saying we have achieved a degree of tahara. We're leaving over. We're putting aside one madrega of tumah that we have acquired in Egypt, and then Moshe says, but there's another purpose in our journey. The Eile Masehem L'Motzoehem. We're also journeying forward. We're going on a Masa to reach a higher destination, to come to Eretz Yisrael. So that means, if we take 42 and we multiply it by 2, we come to 84. So look what we're doing. There are 42 Masos. And each one of the Masos can really be divided into two. There is a departure, and then there is where our destination. So there are two parts. That means the two parts, 42 multiplied by 2 is 84. When we go through the Bein HaMetzarim, 21 days between Shavuos v'Tammuz and Tisha B'Av, there are 21 days. Each day has a day and a night. That's 42. When the day begins, that's a departure from where we come from. When the day ends, we're coming close to a new destination. Each part is also can be divided into two. So we go through the Bein HaMetzarim. In essence, we're also going through 84 sections. Now you'll ask me, why am I trying to focus on the number 84? What is this in 84? So I really don't know. But there is one Chazal that comes to mind that always bothered me, and that is Chazal said that if a person, it's one of the very big mysteries. It's one of, you know, they have certain books that have Maimori Chazal that are mysterious. And this Maimori is one of the most mysterious Maimori Chazal, which I don't even know we have in the car, 84. 84. Daf, what? Daf. That's not the thing I wanted to say anyway.
Yes.
But the answer of Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld is, people said that if you go to a pidyon haben, and your nene from a su'udas pidyon haben, it's shove ki'ilu, you have fasted 84 times. Pei dalid tainiyos. So Poshab Shad is pidyon is redemption. Pidyon comes from the word pei dalid. What does fasting have to do with pidyon, eating, connected fasting? No one knows what this means. This is a very big mystery. And they asked Rav Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld what this means. So he said, I don't know what it means. But one thing I can tell you, that if you learn a daf Gemara, it's also shachol keneged 84 fasts, because the daf is pei dalid. So instead of make yourself crazy to run to a pidyon haben, go learn a daf Gemara. It's the same pei dalid. Daf is pei dalid. But I think over here maybe we have a makar for this chazal, because Klal Yisrael is now traveling in the midbar for 40 years. The journey was a very great nisayon. Vayanecha. The journey in the Midbar is called, what is it called? It's called starvation. Hashem afflicted you. He made you hungry. The man was a very great nisayon to be on a madrega, to enjoy the man. You had to be a Baal Madrega. Many people walked away hungry from the man because they were not on a madrega. It's called an inui. Vayanecha. For 40 years. The 40 years was the time when Klal Yisrael journeyed the Membeis Masos. The Membeis Masos are not Membeis Masos, it's 84 Masos. As it says in the Pasuk Beferish, it's first called Motzoehem Lemasehem, and then it's called Masehem Lemotzoehem. So it's really double. The goal of going out and traveling the desert was that HaKadosh Baruch Hu redeemed us. It was pidyon. The reason why you do a pidyon haben is to be marked. We do pidyon haben is to recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Egypt. He took us. What do you do in the pidyon haben? You redeem something and you give something holy. You make something holy. There is a release and there is a sanctification. The child is released. And money is given for a holy purpose. There's a two-step process. So perhaps this chazal, that if a person is nene from a pidyon haben, it's ki'ilu, he fasted 84 times. I don't have the full idea, but you cannot deny the fact that there is some similarity between these two concepts. Coming out of Mitzrayim represents Hashem redeemed us, mibeis avodim, vayiftecha Hashem lekecha, mibeis avodim. And the redemption was not an easy redemption. We traveled 40 years. It was a difficult journey. It was a journey of inui, of suffering. And this suffering was done in 84 steps. Now, just to conclude this idea, I just want to mention is that we say every day, often davening, this Mepharshim discussed this, the tefillah of Rabbi Nechuni ben Akone. Rabbi Nechuni ben Akone, we give ono b'koyach gedulos Hashem yimincha tater tzruda. And we go on, we say this, at least we say Friday night, right before we begin L'chadodi, after you recite the six Mizmorim, before we begin L'chadodi, we recite the tefillah of Nechuni ben Akone, and this tefillah has seven lines. And at the end of the seven lines, if you notice in the Siddur, it has the Roshei Tevois of the words of this tefillah. There are exactly in this tefillah 42 words divided over 7 days, six days. Then the last one is Baruch Shem. Then comes Baruch Shem Kamalchus Olam Voed over six, and then the last one is not really that's Baruch Shem. That's the last. But and there are exactly 42 words over the 6 days, which correspond, according to the Mepharshim, to the Membeis Masos. And that teaches us that when a person goes through a week goes through the cycle of going through a week, you're also experiencing the mem beis masos. As a person travels through time, even a short period of time until you come to Shabbos Kodesh, until the time of Shabbos, which represents Me'ein Olam Haba, a person to somebody who is also experiencing the journeys and the nisyonos of traveling through time. And the Mefarshim said that every person in his life goes through multiple tekufas. Those tekufas are also correspond to the mem beis masos. The person in his life goes through 42 tekufas. How you calculate that, I have no idea. But those 42 tekufas also correspond to the mem beis masos. The point we want to make over here is, it's not a coincidence that we're coming here to Parshas Maaseh in the Bein HaMetzarim, because the masos that Klal Yisrael journeyed at the time of the Midbar were Ma'isa Avos Sim Lebanim, to the journeys that Klal Yisrael would go through in Golos until they come to the time of Mashiach. In the big picture of things, it represents 2,000 years of Jewish wandering. On a smaller scale, a person goes through the Mem Beis Masos in one week, through the Koyach, the Tefillah of Rav Nechunya ben Hakaneh. When you come to Shabbos, you summarize the entire week with this Tefillah, which has 42 words, and you review the entire week. There are 42 letters. It's the Shem Hashem. It's the Shem Hashem of 42 letters. A person in 1 week goes through, on a smaller scale, the 42 Masos. A person in his life goes through the 42 Masos. And what's the most interesting is each one, by the tefillah of Rav Nechunya ben Hakaneh, is a tefillah which focuses on a bakasha to bring the geula. And the very last word is Yodea Ta'alumais. Hashem knows all of the mysteries. We, for sure, without question, according to all of the great minds and the great thinkers in Klal Yisrael, are now on the last journey. We've gone through 41 trips, and we're now holding at the journey number 42 to reach our final destination. And this last journey in the end of Golus, Igvus de Mashiach, corresponds to the most mystical word of all of the 42 words of the Tefillah of Rav Nechunya ben Hakaneh, Yodea Ta'alumos, mysteries. All the other journeys, maybe there was some rhyme and reason, there's some logic behind why things happen, why good things happen to bad people, why bad things happen to good people. Maybe there's some way you can explain. But now we're living in a time, Ikvus de Mashiach, where everything is beyond our understanding. It's a tekufa of ta'alumos, of mystery. And that demands of us to be mechazek ourselves in Yonei Emuna. Okay, the last thought, just to conclude this system, the idea of the Mem Beis Masos, we know that the word, the journeys are called a Masa. Masa has three letters. Mem, Samach, Ayin. It's not a coincidence that the journey, the history of Klal Yisrael, is captured with these three letters. Because the history of Klal Yisrael is rooted in the Torah HaKadosha. Yisrael, the Araisa, the Kutsha Brichu, Chati. It's one. The Torah is captured in the Luchos. When Hashem gave the Luchos, Kol HaTorah Kula can be found, can be hinted to in the Luchos. And with regard to the Luchos, Chazal say in the Bavli, Mem V'samach Shebeluchos, Beneis Hayu Imdim. Because the Mem and the Samach are completely surrounded on all four sides. There's a 360 degree covering of ink, and when these letters are etched into the luchos, how does the section that's in the middle of the letter, how does it sustain? How does it remain? Mem v'samach shebeluchos b'neis hoyoimdim. But that's only true if we hold that the luchos were written with ksav ashuris. But what about according to the opinion that says that the luchos were written b'ksav ivri? So ksav ivri, the mem and the lamed are not, then they do not need a miracle. So the answer is, you look at an old script of ksav ivri, there's one letter that is suspended, and that is the ayin. The ayin is a triangle, And the Ayin is the letter that is the Neis HaYo'endim, and indeed the Yerushalmi explicitly says, not like the Bavli, that the Ayin Shebeluchos the Neis HaYo'emet. So we have Machlokes, the Yerushalmi, and the Bavli. Were the Luchos written B'Ksav Ashuris? Were the Luchos written B'Ksav Ivris? The Bavli holds it was written B'Ksav Ashuris. Memela Mem B'Samach Sheba Luchos B'Neis HaYoyimdim. The Yerushalmi holds that the Luchos were written B'Ksav Ivris. Memela, the Yerushalmi says that the Ayin Sheba Luchos were written, was suspended B'Neis. The Radvaz says it's not a contradiction. Elu V'Elu Divri Elokim Chayim. The Bavli is discussing the Luchos Rishonos, and the Yerushalmi is discussing the Luchos Shniyos. But what do we take away from this? Yisrael v'oiraisa v'kudsho b'ruchu chadi. Yisrael is rooted in the Torah. The Torah is captured in the Luchos. In the Luchos there are three letters, b'neis hoyo'imdim, mem, samach, aleph, masa, journey. Klal Yisrael traveled in the Midbar 42 journeys, 42 different steps. These 42 journeys, Mesamel, Maisa, Ovoy, Simin, Labanim, there's going to be Golos. And in Golos, Klal Yisrael, they're going to be bounced around from country to country, from place to place, location to location, expulsions, Golos, pogroms, and all of these horrors that we are familiar with for the last 2,000 years. All of those journeys are hidden in the Mem Beis Masos. And yet we're still here today to talk about it. No other nation would have survived even for 5 minutes. And here we are 2,000 years standing strong. V'netzach Yisrael lo yishaker. What's the answer? The answer is, the Masos are Mem Samachayin. Mem v'samach shebeluchos b'neis hoyoimdim. Ayin shebeluchos b'neis hoyoimdim. The survival of Klal Yisrael is nothing other than miraculous. It's b'neis hoyoimdim. That will stop. Have a wonderful Shabbos.